Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Should we say it again? Good morning.
Good morning.
Now turn to somebody, take them by the hand and say, you are going to be blessed because I'm sitting next to you. Now that is far better, and it is far better to say that than to look at somebody and say, oh no. God wants us to be a blessed people, because we are blessed. This is the most exciting day of our lives. Kerry, this is the most exciting day of your life. Why? It may be our last. Hello? Lady waving. It may be our last, so we must make the most of our day. Now, I'm very excited to be with you. My wife and I are very excited to be here, looking at this frozen water and being encouraged to go out to walk later and climb mountains and... No. God bless you if you want to do that. Climb to the highest mountain, you know. Join My Fair Lady if you want, on the top. But God wants you to enjoy life here at this time. And whatever is going to happen, we want to be passionate about what we hear, and above all else, able to leave here and do what the Lord instructs us. Yes. Now, I've been coming into this country for many, many years. Some folks that are here that I can see, it's been a long time since I saw you last, and we've changed. No matter what the kind people tell you, you do not look the same. My wife is a very kind lady. She tells me that I look exactly like I did when she first met me. My children are kind, but they're kind enough to tell me the truth. So they generally look around the house and find a photograph and say, Dad, this is what you looked like when you were 21. And we want to assure you, you do not look like that now. Right? It's good to have children who are like that. It's good to have friends who are like that, who will tell you the truth, that you don't live in fantasy world. Okay? There are many Christians living in a fantasy world. Now, as I said, I've been coming to this country for many years, and I was with Brother Norolf Askeland about 2 months ago in Bergen, just having some fellowship, talking and asking him questions about people that I used to know who walked with Jesus at one time, and to discover they're no longer walking with the Lord. And it reminded me of a few months previously to that, being with a brother in the southwest of England, and I'd not seen him for over 20 years, and he'd asked to see me, so I went to see him. And I began to ask him about certain people that we'd known in the past, ministers of the gospel. And he would say, they're no longer walking with the Lord. They're no longer in the faith. Their marriage has collapsed. Their whole family's disintegrated. I thought, I'm not going to ask you any more questions about people I knew, because it's a tragic story. Now, can I say this to you? I've been in many conferences like this over time. It's so easy to get a razzmatazz, to get excited. And it's good to be excited, as long as you're excited about what you need to be excited about. Not just excited. And in praying about coming to be with you this time, I thought, Lord, what can I share with Here's my thought. I was told it is a young people's conference. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
It's 84.
We're, I'm not asking you that. It's really good to be with you.
Exactly. I'm married.
Exactly. 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 You're as young as you think. As a man thinks.
Yes.
Now, this is important, my dear friends here. You can be 18 years of age and live as if you're 70.
Yeah.
You can be 84 years of age and live as if you're 17. It's all to do with how you think. As a man thinks, so they are. Never ever think that because you, quote, have gone 70 or you're over 80 that you're out to grass. Life is over and finished. No. Your old men and women will dream dreams and your young people will have visions in the same move of God.
Yes.
It's an exciting time.
Yes. Yes.
But it's important also for us to be sober.
Yes.
And in seeking the Lord, before I came here, I said, Lord, what can I share with people that know everything? You say, we don't know everything. That's why I want to take you to a scripture. Will you turn to the first book or letter of Paul to the Corinthians? Now, you can follow in the Bible. You can follow on your telephone, wherever you want to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is what I was reading before I came here concerning yourselves. From verse 4, and I'm reading from what is called the Message. The Message. It's a paraphrase. And this is how the writer puts it this way. Every time I think of you, every time I think of you in Norway, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened to you and in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified and shown in your lives. Just think. You don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you, as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. Could we also say we will never give up on him? And as I read that and thought of yourself, going through the scriptures, I then came across a word that Paul brought to Timothy, his true son in the faith. You'll find it in the first letter of Paul in Timothy, chapter 4, verse 17. It says this: discipline yourself to godliness. Discipline yourself. We're living in a day where people want everything instantly. Communication, instantly. Many years ago, I could remember going out to Africa and communication or letters were sent to us, we would receive a month later. Such was the mode of communication in those days. These days, you can receive in those same areas, within seconds, communication. We like instant food, instant access, instant gardens. Now, those of you who are gardeners realize you cannot have an instant garden. But in America, you can. As long as you've got enough money, you just buy the trees and you buy the plants, and immediately you've got the garden. Everybody wants instant things. In the things of God, things are going to come your way and my way, and they don't happen instantly.
Yes.
It takes time. And your faith has to be proven in the times of testing, and often through patience you will receive the promises. Yes. There are people in this room, you've had a promise from God, and as yet it has not been fulfilled. Yes. Please understand this. You've received a promise from God, not from a prophet. You've got to go beyond the person who was the prophet. The prophet is only the conduit, the mediation, the transporter of a word from God to you. And it's upon that you build your faith. You build your faith on a word from God. And God himself, who makes the promise and commits himself to it, will never fail you. But sometimes between the promise being made and the promise being fulfilled, there is time. And God expects you to think, well, what am I going to do? I want it immediately. He says, it ain't going to happen immediately. It's through patience. Through faith. You'll receive the promise. We live in the world of instant in this way, that Christians actually believe that they get what they want immediately they ask. That's not a sound faith. Discipline yourself. And there are areas we need to discipline. Let me give you an example. A number of years ago, I was asked to go to America, as one of the pastors that I knew there was going on a sabbatical. And they asked that I go to the church to stand in for him while he was away. I'd been there for about 2 weeks, and I was in the office, and suddenly there was a knock on the door. So I said, come in. There was no response. There was another knock on the door. And I said, come in. And the door opened, and there in the doorway, filling the doorway, and the doorway in America, it was wider than they are in England, but filling the doorway stood a lady. Now, I was saddened and yet shocked. So she said, could I see Pastor Jones, please? Well, I said, I'm Pastor Jones, but I'm not the Pastor Jones you need to see. The Pastor Jones you want to see, he is away at the moment. Can I help you? Well, she said, the Pastor Jones that is away told me that when I register, this is her word, when I register, he would pray for me. By which time, the secretary of the church came out from her room into mine, and she said, let me explain to you. This is Sister, and then she named the lady. Pastor Jones said that when she'd lost sufficient weight and registered on the weighing scale, he would pray for her. I looked at the lady and said, have you come to tell me you are... She said, no, I just thought I'd let you know that I still have not registered. Now, what the pastor had done was this. This was a lady that came forward in a prayer line. She was suffering from breathing difficulties, high blood pressure. She wanted prayer for healing. But the pastor, looking at this lady and knowing her condition and knowing also her desire for food, said simply, if you do this, I will do this. It is not an instant healing you want. you also have to have a change of life. So she went away, and I sat down in the chair, thinking about that lady, and I thought about her before coming here. We want everything, but don't ask us to do anything. The one thing we don't want is to discipline. Young people were here. It's a couple of months ago, I had a mother into my home, and she said, "I hope you could help my son." I said, "How?" She said, "If I can get into his bedroom, if I can push the door open," she said, "he just drops his clothes down and he leaves his laundry for about a month. And it's just piling up and piling up and piling up." And she said, "His room, it's just a disaster." I said, "And what are you doing to help him?" "Well, I've told him that if he cleans his room and does his laundry, we will give him some money." I said, "Don't do that. If he lives in your house, you tell him, clean your room up. Show him where the laundry basket is. Show him where to put his shoes. Teach him how to make his bed." When I met the young man, he said, "I hear there's some difficulties in your home." "No. No." I said, "If I came to your house today, would I be able to push your bedroom door?" "Well, you're not coming to my house, are you?" I said, "Based on what you've just said, yes. I want to discover what your room's like." By which time it was simply, "I was going to stay an hour, but I think I'd better go home." It was simply this. It's a discipline. Discipline yourself to godliness. Godliness, can I say this? In godliness, there is what is called tidiness. It's being practical. Your faith is this, not something to talk about, but your faith is to be demonstrated. If you believe the kingdom of God, how many of you actually believe in the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Right? All right. What is it? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking a question. What is it? What is the, for you, what is the kingdom of God?
Joy.
Joy.
Will of God.
Will of God.
Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
God's reign.
God's reign.
Harmony. Harmony.
Harmony.
Life.
Life. Now, if I could strip away all the religious talk.
Tidy room.
Driving in my car according to the rules and regulations of the road. If I'm in a 40 limit, the kingdom of God has arrived. 40. Oh, I could see some of you. I could see some of you. Wow. We thought we're in a faith conference. Do you understand? It's bringing the. I want the policeman to enjoy having people like me on the road.
Yes, sir.
They're chasing the criminals, not the righteous people. And if you get stopped, you know why they're stopping. They're only there to thank you. Do you understand that? It's righteousness is to be observed. The kingdom of God means the rule of God in my life, in my thought life. My thoughts is not a garbage bin of junk, of filth and dirt. It's clean. It's healthy. It's good. I think good about God, and I think good about myself. I think good about other people. My mouth is not filled with blasphemy and cussing and swearing. It's filled with encouragement and hope and faith and helping. It's telling people how good they are and saying to people, I'm glad I'm sitting next to you this morning because I'm going to have a better meeting. To say to somebody, it's a privilege for you to meet me. It's saying words, Jesus, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
Now, can I say this? You have to discipline yourself in those areas. Discipline your mouth.
Yes.
Book of James says this. If you can control this little organ, now I'm not talking about literally and metaphorically, if you can control your speech, you can control everything around you and in you. Somebody read it this morning, I think, 1 Corinthians, was it 1:20 or something? The promises of God are yes and amen.
Yes.
That you believe promises, and in those promises, you discipline yourself with the promise.
Yes. Yes.
Illustration. I am the person that I do not know how to cook. All right? Even this week, I was trying to make some toast for my wife. I thought I'd overcome this problem. And as I'm making this toast for her, my mind went back many years ago when my wife hadn't been too well and I was making some toast for my children. And my daughters were there and I thought, well, I'll get the toast ready. I'll make them their drink. And somebody wanted a soft drink, so I'll get the soft drink. And I'm going around and suddenly I smell burning. So I looked and suddenly saw this toaster was all smoke coming out. And I thought, well, that's the last piece of bread that we had. And suddenly I get the toast out and my one daughter's there and she's crying. So I said, what's wrong? She said, Daddy, we must pray for Mummy to be healed. Well, I said, we are praying for Mummy to be healed. Why are you so emotional about that? She said, if Mummy's not healed, we're all going to die. It was simply, Dad, you're totally incompetent. So this week I was making some toast for my wife and the same thing happened. And it's amazing how things are just joined together in life. Your memory goes back and I thought, here's the toast going again. But although I'm not able to cook or do these things, I do like watching the TV shows. And they got all this out and they've laid all out of some blueberries here and some bit of trees here and a bit of this there and a bit of this there and a bit of this there and they're all laid out and I'm thinking and then they said and you are going to make this and I'm thinking how on earth are they going to make that and then I watch them and it's mixing this up and mixing this up and mixing this up and mixing this up and mixing this up. And then the oven they come absolutely perfect. They don't tell you how many times they've tried it but they show you the finished product. I think I feel like Pavlov's dog, saliving at the living room. Oh, I'd like that. They would never have the finished product unless they mix the product up. Hebrews chapter 4. The promises that God has given to us are no less than the promises he gave to the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness, but they did not profit them. Why? They did not mix the promise with faith. God has given you promises. Go in your mind. Think about promises. God gave me that promise. God gave me that promise. God gave me that promise. And if God gave you that promise, he gave you it to fulfill it.
Amen.
Why? He's not a man that he would lie. He's not the son of man that he would repent. Has he not said it? Isn't he going to do it? He said, Carrie, here's the promise. Well, I know, Lord, it's the promise. I've got this promise on this, and it's on the ledge, and this promise is in my cupboard, and this promise is on my desk, and this promise is so and so. I've got all these promises. He said, they'll do you no good unless you mix them with faith. It's called discipline. Discipline yourself to get a promise, hold on to it, and say to yourself, God gave me this word, God's going to fulfill it, I'm holding on to it, and no matter what comes, I will not quit.
Amen.
Until it's fulfilled, because it's going to be fulfilled.
Yes.
A lot of Christians don't like that. They want it to be instant. Discipline will cost you friendships. When I first came to know Jesus, a lot of my friends, first they didn't know Jesus, so therefore I lost them. Then I met some Christian friends. Now I'm speaking to people here that I've known for years. I got associated with and became associated with Christians who are much older in the faith. I was told to look up to them because they were older Christians. We have to respect older people. But you're not there to respect older Christians simply because they're older. You respect them because the faith they had at the beginning has grown, that their faith is now stronger.
Amen.
It is possible to be old and not wise. And it's possible to be young and wise. It's possible to be older with no faith. It's possible to be younger with much faith. God wants us as all people together moving in faith. So when I met these people, they used to talk to me and I'd say this, oh, God's given this. We have to reach the world and God's going to fill the whole world with his glory. And they would say, we used to believe that. I used to go around on meetings as a young evangelist and you preach the gospel and you say, anybody who is sick and anybody who is here, Jesus can not only heal you and save you, he can blast you in a new term of living that's beyond anything you've ever had before. I believe that.
Yes.
Today, I believe it even more.
Amen.
Amen.
But people would come to me and they'd say, this, older people, they'd say, you know, when you get older, you won't preach that. When your body begins to creak. When your body begins to creak. When you're getting out of bed and it's a little difficult. When you no longer think I'm just kneeling to pray. You think, what else can I do while I'm praying? When you're older, you won't preach like that anymore. Why not? Has God changed? We are told in the Word of God, God does not change. There's no variableness. There are no shadows. Jesus Christ is the same today. Today. As he was in your yesterdays. And he'll be the same tomorrow. What he told you yesterday, he'll tell you the same today.
Yeah.
Why? He's unchanging.
Yeah.
But we have to discipline ourselves to believe that. It would have been about 9 months, 10 months ago. I was in a church and a lady at the end of the meeting came up to me and she said this, I really want to have the faith that you've got. I said, you'll never get the faith I've got. So I said, at least we'll start off on the right basis. You'll never have the faith. I said, you can have your own faith. But I said, to help you, do you read the scriptures? Oh, that's difficult. I try and it's difficult. I said, you know, I want to be respectful. If you do not read the scriptures, you're not even going to have your own faith. Now let me say this to you. You are never going to grow strong if you are not reading the scriptures. It's not a snatch. I'm going to work. Let's have a quick verse. No. But blessed is the man and woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law they meditate day and night. That person will be like a tree planted by the waters that brings fruit in its season, and its leaf will not wither, and all that they do will prosper. The ungodly are not so. If you are in the Word, not just reading it, faith does not come by reading. But by reading, it's the opportunity to hear. Faith comes by hearing. How many of you have ever been reading the Scripture and suddenly out of the Scripture, a word is like living, comes to you and says, that's for me. Hands up if that's ever happened to you. That's what it is. Faith comes by hearing. I'm reading, but out of it suddenly this living word leaps into your heart and you say, that's mine. You walk out of that room and you can say to yourself, I don't care what I'm facing. I don't care what people will say. I know that I've received the word from God, and that is surely going to happen.
Yes.
But it says in the word of God, the secret things belong to the Lord. But those that have been revealed belong to us. Now God still has some secrets locked up. He still has. That's his prerogative. But even all those secrets will be unlocked before he comes. But you know that in the scriptures here, we have many secrets that God has given to us, remaining secret because we don't look to find them.
Yes.
Has anybody here got a promise from God? Now, let's do this now. I used to be a school teacher. I used to be. It wasn't a good one, but I used to be. And this is sometimes people, when you ask them a question, say a math question, and say, anybody here got the answer? Somebody, they do this. Like, or the Indian sign. You know, I taught in a strange school, you know what I mean? Now, when I say, has anybody got a promise, it's easier for a teacher to suddenly say, right, like this. Not this, but like this. Now, is anybody here who has a promise from God that at this present time has still not been fulfilled?
Yes.
Keep your hands up now. Now if, keep your hand up. This is Simon Says, you know, John? Now if the person next to you, don't drop your hand. If the person next to you has your hand up, turn to them and say these words. Walk with God and it will be fulfilled before you die.
Walk with God and it will be fulfilled before you die. Walk with God and it will be fulfilled before you die.
There's excitement down in the fourth row here. Praise God. It's not fulfilled, but it will be. sad tale. A sad tale. About 3 years ago, I went down to the southwest of England, and I was driving through a particular town where a ministry colleague of mine many years ago was now living. He had a particular store in that town, and so I called in the store and asked the secretary, could I see the particular gentleman? And she said, could I tell him who's asking for him? I said, just tell him Kerry is asking if he could see him. So she went away, and immediately this friend of mine from years past came out and said, well, it's so good to see you again. You look fine and everything's going good. And I said, yeah, everything's going good. And next thing he said, do you still believe what you believed? Well, I said, of course. Jesus is alive. I believe what I believed even stronger today. Don't you? No, I don't. I don't believe any of that anymore. Well, I said, I'm very sad to hear that, because I'm a free man. And I said, one thing I've learned in life, I'll say his name was Job. I can't think of a better name. I said, Job, I've been like you in times past when I've had a civil war inside me. And a civil war is not a good war to fight. And I said, I've never known God been in a war with anybody where he's lost. I said, it's nice to see you. But I said, don't fight it any longer. God is for you. And even though you've given up on him, he's got you a number. He's not given up on you. His eyes filled up. I said, good to see you again. My prayers are for you. And I went home. You say, did he turn to God? I have no idea. But at least I was a witness to simply tell him, God has not quit on you. He still loves you.
Yes.
He's still for you. Add to your faith knowledge by reading this. How many of you believe in tithing? Not that you do it. Tithing, T-I-T-H-I-N-G, or giving God 1% or 10% or whatever you believe. How many of you actually believe in giving God 10%? Giving God 10%. All right, hands up. How many of you believe that 10% is the Lord that you can't give? Ah, well, we've got some teaching to do while I'm here. Okay? Yeah. The first question is, how many of you believe that we give to God 10%? We give to God out of our income, if you want, of our money, of our time, we give God 10%. Or, how many of us can simply say the 10%, the first 10% is the Lord's? So I cannot give him what is his. My giving does not begin there. My beginning of giving begins with what I have left. It's okay, I know full well you, the teachers here are going to teach you. I'm glad I'm going on a plane tomorrow. But I've created a problem, okay? But 10%, you believe, yeah, I believe in 10%. How about your time? 24 hours a day, do you tithe it to God? Most Christians don't. How much time would you spend in the Word? How much time would you spend in prayer? No shortcuts. Prayer is not merely going to God with your requests. Prayer is going to God to listen to him speak. For when he's speaking, it's easy to pray those prayers. Oftentimes we go to God with a list and say, Lord, I've come to you and I want to pray for Auntie Mary and Auntie Gwen and Auntie Uncle Tom and Uncle Fred and Uncle Soames and the churches in Bergen, the churches, well, all the churches in Norway. And the missionaries in Africa and the missions in Asia and the missionaries in South America and all missionaries everywhere. We go through this whole list and say, well, I've come to the end of the list, Lord. Amen. You're going to get up on your knees and suddenly a little voice inside says, where are you going? You say, who's that? And you look around thinking, who is that? Because the voice is as loud as if somebody was in the room. You say, who is that? Me. Well, where are you? Inside you. What are you doing there? Well, a long time ago you asked me to come into your life. And I told you that I'd never leave you. Neither would I forsake you. So I just wanted to have a little chat this morning. Because for the last 5 days you've given me your list. And then said amen. And I just wanted to talk to you. Well, Lord, everything's fine. There's no problems in my life. He said, that's what you think. I just got one thing to tell you about. And then he tells you about that. And it's the way he tells you that you suddenly find that you break before him. Yes. And you think in your heart, I can't move from here. The Lord has to do something in my life. And you stay in his presence because the time of the clock is gone. It doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because you are living in an eternal situation. God may come to you in a time moment as far as you are concerned, but he brings you into the eternal moment. And you're there and he says, Kerry, I want this aspect of your life. I want you to surrender that. You don't need that anymore. It hinders you. The issue is, I'm pointing it out to you. What are you going to do about it? Discipline yourself to godliness is allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit. It's allowing the Christ in you to live his life. Christian life and living is not rocket science. It's very simple. You just do, and I do, what he tells us to do. That's all. The Lord told me to do this, I did it. The Lord told me to go there, I went. The Lord told me to give this, I gave that. And what does it do? It causes me to live in the sense of freedom, of knowing God's blessing me. I want us at the outset of our time together to have a focus in our lives. Not as a corporate group. That can happen as a church. But as each individual is here, simply this. What are you prepared to give or to give away to achieve God's best? Some friends, they are not seeing what you see. You have to let them go. The lady you thought you were going to marry, or the man you thought you'd marry, not seeing what you see, got to let him go. The church situation you may be in, it may have history with it. It's no longer carrying life. Need to move. I say that for this reason. I don't want you to be trapped by death. Religion is death. Tradition can be death. But he who has the Spirit, and he who has allowed the Spirit to have him, will live in life. Discipline yourself. as I will discipline myself unto godliness, that is, to be like him. How many of you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? How many of you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Right? What were you baptized in the Holy Spirit for? Power? Power for?
To be a blessing.
To be a blessing?
To be able to walk in the Spirit.
To walk in the Spirit?
Be a witness.
To be?
A witness.
A witness. A witness unto me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is Jesus himself. Even if someone prays you, it's Jesus himself initiating you into the dynamic and fullness of the Holy Spirit for one reason. For power to be able to witness, not merely verbally, but for people to look at you and say, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. There's something different about them. They're a different species. They're a different group. You don't need to say anything. They will be conscious that you're different. Yes. And what is the difference? You are witnesses unto him. What he's like, you are. John the Apostle said this. We are even as he is in this present evil world. Think of that. We are as he is in this present evil world. Jesus is no longer in this world in the flesh. Jesus as a person gone. Jesus by his Spirit is in this world in the flesh of other people. You, me, and the world needs to see him through us. Discipline yourself to becoming like God or becoming like Christ, so that wherever we are, the world looks on and says, I know who you are. When I was in North Korea a number of years ago, I had 3 bodyguards. They love bodyguards there. And on the second day, one of the guards turned to me in the vehicle that I was in, and he said to me, I know who you are. I said, you do? Yes, he said, I know who you are. I said, who am I? You know, when somebody says, I know who you are, you think, well, I don't know who he is, but I said, well, who am I? He said, you're a Christian. I said, I'm a Christian? Yes, he said, you're a Christian. I said, you are right. How did you know that? He said, I have been escorting tourists around in this country for many years. And at breakfast time or food times, we eat in different quarters to the tourist. You were the first person who's invited me to sit with them for food. You're the first person to give me their food. Now, please understand this. That may look good to him, but I didn't like the food. Well, you got to be honest, you know, it wasn't some kind of thing. I don't like dog. So, you know. But he said, you're the first person. So I looked at him and said, do you know, sir, the reason I came to North Korea was I was wondering if there are any Christians here. But you've given me the answer. He said, I've given you the answer. I said, yes. You would not know that I was a Christian if you had not known other Christians. There was a way that Christians behave that was different. And now you see somebody coming from the West who basically behaves as the people you've met. So he's now... And then he looks at me and says simply this: there are many in this country. And suddenly the two other guards come and it's back to normal. If you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, you may not have to say a word.
Yes.
You will be a witness unto him by living in the power of the Spirit. But that is for another time. We now have to finish. Because my wife is looking at her watch. Let's have a break. Thank you.